You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Very exciting to talk to my high school friend and baseball teammate. We still have Bam coming up in this hour. Just a fun show. So look at us on Zoom, still having a fun show. Did you guys see last night the Yankees clinched the playoffs and they were doing a celebration? Just a normal, I don't understand why we celebrate everything in baseball. And it's like we clinched the division, we celebrate. We win a wild card game. It's like way too much celebrating. That's not even what I want to do. That's just a little side take that I have. But in this, so they're just like showing like fun Yankees in the locker room celebrating. And then randomly you see some guy go up to Nestor Cortez and pour a beer down the back of his shorts. It was just like, that's how we're celebrating.
That's right.
Then I just was like this, like I've seen pour it on the head. I've seen the shake and spray in the face. I've never seen the tactic of let me pull your elastic shorts from behind and pour
Let me just make it damp and uncomfortable and unpleasant down there for you for the rest of a celebratory evening, because who wants to walk around with underwear soaked in booze?
Roy, the next time we have a good show, I'm doing that. I'm celebrating the show by pouring some beer down your ass.
Yeah, no. 162 games. Yeah, obviously I'm going to be celebrating. It's a long ass season.
But then they're going to win a wild card series.
Yes, every round.
It's like they lose. I would lose enthusiasm for this kind of excitement if we're doing it every round.
It's absurd. Imagine if the Heat celebrated when they beat the Sixers to move on to the fall. It's a stupid tradition. But also pouring a beverage down my pants is something that I do every Hurricanes tailgate when I'm out at the West Lot. That's just to survive and keep
cool.
Do
it to yourself. Wow.
Yeah, that's just that's how I bring down the overall temp.
It's not water, Chris Cody, it's beer though.
You are doing a hell of a job today by ensnaring. I will tell people that had he not ensnared a high school buddy to talk about box, which is not where I expected today's show to be in general, Chris Cody's contribution today is hoping that all sports coverage becomes like this interaction where Shannon Sharp says of Jerry Jeudy, he's always running routes all over the place and he can't catch a bleeping pass. And Jerry Judy's response, and I love this, the immaturity in it. He deleted the tweet, which is unfortunate, but he says to Shannon Sharp, you be doing all that talking during season while your breath be smelling like your ass.
How does he know that?
Well, it's funny that you say that. I don't know how he knows that, but Shannon Sharp proudly brushes his teeth 9 times a day and says he goes like through bottles of Listerine. So this might be something he's actually self-conscious about. I'm still scared of Warren Sapp because of things that Stugatz has done about revealing to everybody that he had bad breath and all his teammates thought it. Like, it seems like this is a rumor that has been haunting the Broncos since Shannon Sharp played there.
Brushing your teeth at lunch is Look at Me Louie, right? The person
no,
that brings
I do
their,
it every day.
Oh,
I do it every day.
No,
not at the Clevelander. I go home and
Louise.
Do it. I don't want to open my mouth while I'm in that bathroom. I prefer to just go in, do my business, get out as fast as possible. But when I get home from work, Chris, I do brush my teeth. My dentist told me I have to because I drink too much coffee.
Mike sure looks like a guy who brushes his teeth at lunch.
Excellent segue. Mike Schur.
I was minding my own business and got. I took a stray for no reason. I'm not even part of this conversation.
That's a perfect
transition right there.
He does.
I do not brush my teeth at lunch. I brush my teeth and when I wake up and then before I go to sleep, like everybody else. All right. Why? Oh, why? Where did that come from, man?
No, that's not the point.
That's a pro transition right there. That's what that was.
The point is that you look like someone who absolutely brushes his teeth.
Define what such a person looks like.
Sweater over the collared shirt.
You fill all the criteria. You're white.
And incidentally, what you're objecting to is simply, and I can't believe that this is where we find ourselves, Chris Cody basically criticizing Jessica and you for being hygienic, and angrily saying, I am not that person. I am less clean and healthy than you think I am.
I think brushing your teeth at lunch is a little obsessive.
Thank you.
That would be my feeling. Yes. That even dentists don't say, like, brush your teeth after lunch, guys. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. They say, like, what in the morning and then at night. I feel like that's plenty. I worked with a guy who shall remain nameless, who is a comedy writer and a stand-up who is...
Steve Carell.
No, hilarious. And he had this weird thing, which is he loves getting applause from the dentist. So he brushes three times a day. He flosses twice a day, like after breakfast and after dinner, because he loves when he goes into the dentist and the dentist, like he's like king of the dentist's office. They're like, they see him coming in and they're like, what's up, man? He's like, how's it going, Clarice? You know, like, what's up, Janet? Like, and they're all like high-fiving each other because his teeth are so perfect and clean.
Yeah, it's definitely John Mulaney. You're saying he has like a dentist praise kink, Mike. Look, I'm just saying, you said the dentist wouldn't even tell you to brush your teeth after lunch. My dentist literally told me to brush my teeth after 30 minutes after I drink coffee, because the coffee can stain your enamel. And then once your enamel gets worn away, you can't whiten it anymore. Like, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. I think because I drink coffee all the time, and then I go to the dentist and they go, your teeth are stained. Do you want us to clean them? And I say, yeah. And then they clean the stain off and I'm fine.
So you're disagreeing with my dentist. Okay.
I think I know more about cleaning teeth than your dentist.
It's Rob Lowe, right? It's Rob Lowe.
It's not Rob Lowe.
Well, you can't rule out that Rob Lowe is like that. He absolutely loves going to the dentist.
I think
it's literally my favorite thing.
I think after Rob Lowe eats food, a bunch of magical cartoon like bluebirds and butterflies come in and just clean his teeth magically for him.
Didn't
and then they
deny
fly away.
That it was Mulaney.
I've never worked with Mulaney, so it's not, can't be Mulaney.
I feel like Rob Lowe only drinks food. Like, he seems like a liquid guy, right?
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Does it seem like Rob Lowe only drinks food? And also, put it on the poll, does Mike Schur look like someone who brushes his teeth in the office bathroom immediately after lunch?
It's just so unfair.
Because he's white.
Just say, do all white people look that way, and then you're fine.
I don't look like that.
No, Chris doesn't look like that.
You know, he but if, to be but nice.
But if Chris had a collared shirt under a sweater, he would.
Oh my God. So nice to see you all this morning. How are you? I turned on this Zoom with genuine concern for your health and safety and then have been a punching bag for five minutes. This is great.
Do we have any? We can't play any music for him. I hope we can put it together in post. Pretend here like you're coming seamlessly out of the sound of my father laughing after singing for too long, and give us your stat of the day.
Oh, thank you, Poppy. Love hearing that song every time.
I would have sang it. You didn't give me the chance.
Okay, no,
let's do it that way.
Let's not put it in.
We can do it that way. We can do it that way.
Leave it out. Leave it out.
Leave it out.
Just pretend.
Stat of the day.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is your stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day.
Are you gonna?
She's so bad at imitating songs.
Ah, thank you, Poppy.
Game show there. What was that? What was that sound of that game show?
Sounded like her piano man too.
Jess, play the long version.
That was Piano Man.
Yeah, that's what I was like. It all sounds the same.
Saying thank you, Poppy, after that feels wrong. Folks, The New York Mets, who are currently tied for first place in the NL East with the Braves, who apparently Stu Gus is right, they're a problem. The Mets are number two in the league in on-base percentage, and this is the weirdest thing about that stat. It's mostly they're having success getting on base because they have been hit by a pitch 110 times, which is an all-time Major League Baseball record. Somehow the Mets are really, really good at getting hit by pitches. Mark Canha, who led the league last year, has been hit 26 times this year to lead the league again in back-to-back years. It is not false to say that if the Mets weren't this good at getting hit by pitches, they would not be in first place in the National League East. However, they still have a long way to go to catch Don Baylor, who was hit by 35 pitches in the year 1986. And that leads us, of course, to another 90s baseball Wednesday.
Yes.
I have in front of me a list of all of the people who have the highest hit by pitch total since Don Baylor was hit by 35 pitches in 1986. Does anybody want to guess who has more than Mark Canha's 26 this year?
Jeff Bagwell.
Bagwell, no, surprisingly.
Yeah, I thought he got hit a lot. I'm trying to
think. He did, but in 97, he got hit like 20-something times, but not one of the top seasons.
You got to think people that crowd the plate and also people that wore the elbow brace. I'm going to say Gary Sheffield.
Good guess, but no, was not hit more than 26 times.
Mike, you can probably tell people the story. They've heard it. One of the greatest things I've ever seen is Don Baylor being hit by Nolan Ryan and trying to stoically run and jog to first base as if it didn't hurt, getting to first base and then crumbling. Falling on the first base bag, because that seems deeply unpleasant to be hit by a baseball that is thrown at you. To be good at it, I'd say the Mets should prefer to be in second place than to be with than to be hit with 118 baseball. Like, if you told me I can be in first place or I can be in second place, and the result is just I got to be hit with a baseball one time, my answer is no, thank you.
Yeah, Baylor used to do this thing where he was so huge and he leaned out over the plate and then he would just turn his back. When the pitch was coming in, he would just turn his left shoulder in towards the plate and the ball would glance harmlessly off his enormous back and then he would jog to first. And Ryan hit him and in my memory of the video, he winces once on his way down stoically winces once on his way down to first. And then when he gets there, it's like, oh, God damn it.
Craig Biggio, that was always the thing about Craig Biggio. Like, he would always get hit.
Biggio was hit 34 times in 1997, and he has a bunch of the other. He has 28 in 2001. He has 27 in 2003. He was hit all the time. He was threatening the record for a while.
Jason Kendall.
Jason Kendall. There you go. Back-to-back seasons of 31 and 31 in 97 and 98.
Yeah, you got to do the batting stance, too, a little bit.
Yeah.
Played a while. How many are on this list?
Not too many to guess.
He's trying to get fired again. Chris Cody, you mentioned in Bagwell, a guy I associate with sort of in retirement being dented because he walks through retirement having been hit by baseballs, and he wasn't even close to Biggio.
That's wild.
Biggio was hit so many times.
Can I just give you my favorite 90s baseball names from the rest of the list?
Yeah.
David Eckstein. Ooh. The great David Eckstein. Chase Utley. And here's Craig Wilson is a good one from the Pirates. And here's the best one. Ready? Fernando Vina.
Oh,
28 God. Hit by pitches in the year 2000.
I wish my alarm clock in the morning could just be people saying 90s baseball players.
That's weirder than brushing your teeth after lunch.
Like, Fernando Vina had a massive head.
Yeah.
Huge
tiny
head.
Tiny body, huge head.
Wait a minute, Chris. Okay. What would that alarm sound like? Just curiously, Ray Langford. Like, would it be like soothing chimes?
Yes. Mike, can you record like a 2-minute thing of just saying? Mike Scherer's got a nice voice.
Here, let's do it as a. Hold on, Mike. As a meditative app here, as just if you can, if it's a very popular industry, we can help people with soothing voices. Just feel one with their mind. You could do 2 minutes of soothing 90s baseball players, just naming them, and they could cut this up and sell it as a meditative app.
Garrett Anderson. Lance Berkman. Maglio Ordonez.
Gooseys.
Mark Grzelanek. John Olerud. Jonathan Lucroy. Grady Sizemore. Lyle Overbay, Jeff Cirillo, Nomar Garcia Parra, Todd Helton. All right, that's good. Now you can just read it.
Forever.
It reminds me of Will Arnett reading menu items in Arrested Development to Liza Minnelli in a sexy voice.
I wanted that to go on for 10 minutes. I was getting closer to God.
Lance Johnson.
Chicken Christian sandwich with club
Guzman.
Sauce.
Jose Reyes. Sean Figgins. Tony Fernandez. Shane Victorino. Angel Pagan. Carl Crawford. Dexter Fowler. Christian Guzman. Tony Womack.
Good stuff.
Delino DeShields. All right, that's good.
Oh, man.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Levitard.
I don't want your beak leaning over the plate.
Stugatz.
Step back, Jack.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
This week at Miami Heat Media Day, we had the chance to catch up with Bam Adebayo. The interview begins rather awkwardly when Chris Cody cannot get his dap right.
Oh man! Wow!
Wow! The fact that you got it wrong. Normally, I am.
We don't have a good run today with handshakes. Oh,
yeah. I've called myself the Michael Jordan of getting the fist bump and handshake thing wrong because I get it wrong every time.
Wow!
Yeah,
you're the goat of that.
Yeah,
so you're like Josh Hart.
Every time, like you go in for the, I got handshake. You go for the hand. I got the fist out. It's terrible.
I'm the Michael Jordan of coming up to my front door with my hands full of stuff and my keys being in the opposite pocket.
Ooh.
Where I gotta like reshift stuff.
Ooh.
What are you like? What's something in random life?
What are you the Michael Jordan of?
I'm the Michael Jordan of. I'm the person that, you know how when you had a long day, and you drop your keys.
Yeah.
I'm him.
Yeah.
I'm him.
It just.
I'm him.
You drop.
Like it's just like you know when you try to get in the house.
Yes.
Fiddling. Oh, you're fiddling. You get the wrong key.
Yes.
How come the key always gets stuck in that little ring? It's like get out of that thing.
Yeah.
Look at us. Like, just a bunch of humans dealing with keys.
Nah, man. Listen.
Look, you're Bam Adebayo, and you deal with the same key stuff as me. It makes me feel better. I was gonna say you're the Michael Jordan of defense, because you're pretty freaking good at defense.
I can also agree to that.
Depoy.
Exactly.
I feel like it's got to be in your future. I'm tired of this disrespect. I'll say it. You don't have to say it.
I'm tired of it too.
Okay. Tired of it.
This games played nonsense. What a ridiculous reason that was last year. You didn't play enough games. Sure, absurd.
Hey, man.
What is it like just being in this setting as you've evolved in your career? Because we kind of been assessing players by which PR guy they have walking around with them, and you have Tim Donovan with you.
He's a head honcho.
A status with the Heat. Like, I mean, that's got to just be a cool thing. Like, a few years ago, you probably had some random person, but now you got Tim Donovan.
It's crazy because I didn't even notice that was like a seniority thing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
We noticed it. I'm telling you, Donovan's in your trail, like, okay, important person walking in.
I started noticing that. It was like, we got 5 minutes. Mm. We got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You're on the clock.
Okay. What are we on the clock for now? How much time do we have left?
Probably 2 minutes.
What's like the lamest question? See? 8.5. All right, we're good.
Oh, wow.
What's the lamest question you've got today? A question you're like, all right, enough with this question.
If I say it, are you going to ask me?
Probably. Okay. Or I won't ask you. Shooting threes, maybe something like that?
Nah.
No?
That wasn't even a question.
All right, what do you got? Give it to me.
This is about old-ass UD.
Yeah, right?
Oh, God.
Sick of that granddad,
it's
man.
It's enough of UD.
Do you think? Do you see yourself doing that someday? Like playing, like being a grizzled vet on a team, and like
in your 23rd year.
I'm surprised more teams aren't trying to. Like, there is obviously, all jokes aside, there's like clearly value in it, and I just don't. Like, I'm surprised we don't see it more.
In my opinion, I would love to be UD. Mm-hmm. I would. When it's all said and done, I would love to have the career that he had. Undrafted, three chips, pending on four. And, you know, being a leader without even having to touch the basketball court. I feel like that's the most incredible thing about UD. The fact that he can move a mountain and not even touch the court.
See, now I want to ask a question like the kind of question you've been getting all day, but I'm going to refrain. I'm not going to ask the UD question. But you mentioned four pending. I think one of the interesting things about this Heat team entering the season is there was so much conversation about what happened over the offseason. There weren't a ton of additions. And so you sort of look internally and go, we have to improve from within ourselves. Do you feel that personally? Do you feel that from your teammates as well, that the goal of this year, if we're going to take a step forward, is we got to get better?
Yeah. I feel like everybody after the loss last year took something from that season that motivated them. I don't, you know, if it was personal, if you had to go on Twitter and see if somebody said something crazy or IG, whatever, or even getting, you know, underlooked and hardly noticed from the media. You know, I feel like a lot of people took us for granted because 65-70% of our team was undrafted, and you know, to keep hearing that, I feel like a lot of guys, you know, it rubs in the wrong way to hear, like, how are y'all winning with all these undrafted guys? Like, how are y'all doing this with undrafted guys, when at the end of the day, like,
you're basketball players.
Yeah, like,
analyze us for who we are.
Yeah,
right?
Like, we hoop. We're here for a reason.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like, for me, I take it personal because it should be a fairy tale story to me. The fact that you have 70% undrafted and you make it to the Eastern Conference. And to get the media saying, like, it's whatever, you know, we want to talk about something else, we want to talk about this, it's disrespectful in a sense, because you're shitting on people who fought for their lives to get to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're undrafted. Like,
yeah.
You know how many guys we looked at that went home, or how many dudes that's been drafted, high draft picks that's never been to the Eastern Conference Finals or the Conference Finals or the Finals period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like it's disrespect to the guys and the body of work they put in.
You mentioned that feeling after losing Game 7. I don't mean to open a wound, but what was that like to get all the way there? I mean, now you've been to the Finals already, but to get close and not quite get there, like, what's like the next 48 hours after that like?
Oh man, you going to hibernation mode. Like, I don't want to talk. Like, I stay in my circle. It's hard for me to get on social media because it's like, what am I about to post about? Like, right. I didn't win.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to go up there and act like everything's fine. And that's why a lot of people think, like, I don't do social media, but I'm cool with social media. It's just like, I don't got a lot to talk about.
How does it feel when somebody shaped like me tells you to be more aggressive on offense?
Nah, man, you're pretty good shape.
Thank you, but you know what I'm saying. Like, when someone behind a keyboard is, like, trying to, like, you know,
Tell you about basketball.
Yeah.
I mean,
the look says enough. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I ignore it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point of me responding to you because you don't know what it's like to actually be in a game seven. You don't know what it's like to be in the finals. You don't know what it's like to go through an 82-game season. So from all of that, those three things, if you've never done one of those, and even more, if you never played basketball at the collegiate level, to a sense, like, how are you going to tell, like, that's like me telling Messi about soccer.
Right.
Like, I've played soccer twice in my life. And, you know, just because I know all the facts don't mean I can tell you what's right or wrong because right. I have no feel to the game.
I feel like you could be better in goal than some maybe professional keepers. I feel like if you looked at like a goalkeeper, I feel like you can look at that and be like, you should have your post covered. I will play for Chelsea. You almost, wait.
No.
I would. I can see you as a goalie, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, that's scoring on you. Yeah. You mentioned social media. What was the last TikTok/Instagram Reels rabbit hole you filled down? Where it's like they're just you keep seeing things from the same subject over and over again.
I got caught on this reel, which is crazy. Where was I? I was in North Carolina, and somebody was talking about, we were driving past like this farm or whatever, and it was somebody doing something to like a horse's heel.
Oh, I've seen this.
Cleaning out the hoof.
Oh, yes. God, I've seen that.
Oddly satisfying.
Oh, it's the best.
Oddly satisfying.
Yes.
And
you're looking at it going, that must hurt for the horse. Exactly. But the horse really seems to like it.
Because they, and cow.
It's like a relief.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, like you, man. Yeah. It's like when you have a piece of popcorn stuck in your tooth and you get it out.
Yeah.
So that was probably the most random.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me with a pressure washing. It was like someone just pressure washing a driveway, like a time lapse thing where it's like it happens really fast, but it's just oddly satisfying to see this.
Because it's like, wow, that's clean.
Yeah. That was once covered in dirt, and now it's not anymore.
Now it's clean.
Kid Cudi, I saw, is getting skating lessons from Tony Hawk. You know, he's just like, he's got a lot. If you could get, take any celebrity, any, like, just like, I could pay this person to give me lessons at this, what would you do? Hard-hitting questions here on the Levitard Show.
Hard-hitting questions.
You think about it, maybe let me know later or something.
Hmm.
Will Smith.
Ooh.
Acting?
Slapping someone.
I mean...
Someone that says, be more aggressive on offense.
And honestly, it was a perfect slap because the follow-through was amazing.
The technique was flawless.
So you can tell he's from Philly.
Yep.
Because he slapped a couple people before. Yeah. But honestly, like, how he's able to just lock into his roles.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like he doesn't miss.
Yeah.
If I get to act alongside Will Smith, that'd be incredible.
I think we need a new body part for the elbow because all the time I always see Spo doing this. I think everyone knows it's coming. So we got to trick people this year. Maybe call it the foot.
Or the wrist.
He taps his foot.
Maybe the wrist.
The top of his head. Just to throw people off the first play down. They'll be like, where's the head? Where's the head? And then you go to the elbow. It's like, boom, they didn't see it coming. Because I feel like all the teams, every team does this thing where it's like, we know where it's going.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. Elbow can mean so much different stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Last question for you. Are you two in or two out? Meaning, are you in on Tua Tagovailoa as a quarterback of the Dolphins?
I'm two in.
All right.
All right.
I'm two in.
Safe
I'm
answer.
In. I'm two in.
All right. Bam Adebayo.
I got to support the home team.
A 1 out of 10 ranking, if the three of us went to Chipotle, how much fun would you have?
10.
Yeah. Well,
my man. Wow.
Because I make scenes at Chipotle.
What does that mean?
I mean, I just go bother people.
Yeah. You don't wait in that line, right? There's a VIP. It's like I'm Bam Adebayo.
No, I wait in the line.
Really?
Hey, listen.
Man of the people.
I try not to be noticed.
Bam of the people.
Yeah, I try not to be noticed when I go out. I go to Chipotle. I act like I've been there before.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might
give him a little wink, double chicken.
Yeah, like, man, can I get some extra chicken, please? Yeah. Please, by any chance, like, a little bit of extra rice. And it'll take one dude in the back, in the very back, like the janitor or something, being like, aren't you Bam? Because I have, like, my mask on and the hoodie. And I guess the height doesn't resonate, register for him. And then they'd be like, you can't get double chicken on me.
These questions are too hard-hitting, so we're getting the wrap-up from your team.
We're going to let you go, man. Because I got the hierarchy
now. You do, man. Yeah, you got Don walking you around. Man. I mean, this is a seniority. Power move, a poove.
Exactly. All right, man,
good to meet you. Bam Adebayo. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man.
Don Levitard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Executive producer Chris Whittingham has divided us into teams today because there's a weather situation down here in South Florida. Although I swear to you guys, I feel like I could play golf today, and I might play golf when we're done.
Don't do that.
Why? What do you mean?
It's a little windy.
Yeah, but listen, I played golf in worse conditions than this. I promise you that. Now, Tampa, the West Coast, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone over in Fort Myers, Tampa. We dodged a bullet here in South Florida. They certainly, well, they're not going to, they won't be able to dodge a bullet. That thing is headed, it's a Cat 4, it could be a Cat 5. Jim Cantor is standing right in the middle of it, as always, and that thing is headed straight to the Fort Myers, Tampa area. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in the state of Florida. Tony, what is going on with that setup? First off, Tony was holding a bat when we first started to do
it. You want me to get it?
When we first, yeah, I would like you to get that bat. And you have a nicer setup. Your setup at your house is nicer than our studios. Billy, you've noticed that, right?
Like, it's definitely nicer than the second studio that we have where we do, you know, side podcasting. He FaceTimed me before, and I didn't realize the extent of that setup. Like, I've seen pictures of it and stuff before, but right. He has a TV monitor that he
I've
sees all of
TV
our faces
monitors.
On.
Yeah, I've got two TV monitors that sit to my left and right. I've got a tripod holding up a DSLR camera. This wall you see behind me that looks like wood is actually wallpaper. It took me like a day to do it, top to bottom from the roof down. I got a little neon sign here. You know, I got a bunch of different things. So, yeah, it took me a while to get everything in place, but I'm really happy with where it is.
Putting up wallpaper, not fun, very difficult. A little tricky game, putting up wallpaper.
Oh, that's wallpaper? I thought that was genuine wood behind you.
No.
I only know this because I watched the guy put up wallpaper in my daughter's dorm room. It looks exactly the same. Her roommate's dad. I did nothing. I bought pizza. That's what I did.
Pizza's important, though, Stu. The guy that buys pizza is very important into the college movement process.
Wallpaper, dangerous game, though, right? Because you have to get that right the first time.
Yeah.
Because removal is very difficult. Isn't it?
So let me see here. I've got the wall, I think, up is 11 feet by 9 feet, like the whole wall behind me, right? So I had to do the entire thing. My wife was like, if you're going to wallpaper the wall, you have to do the entire thing. You can't just do the place where the camera is. And I'm like, all right, cool. So it took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 different strips of wallpaper that I had to get exactly right the entire way. There was one where I got it and it was slanted. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, I have to do it again. So I had to rip the whole thing down, do it like by hand. I had to get like a paper plate and like get the air, like a, you know, one of those like paper plates I folded in half and like get the air and move it all the way out. Right. Very tedious process.
Like a roller?
Yeah, kind of like a roller. And I would just have to like suction the air out as she held it. I would have to like go through it. But I mean, I can do it at your guys' house. You know, pay me under the table and we'll make it happen.
Why can't it be over the table?
Oh, yeah. We could do it over the table. I have taxes.
No. I only like paying people under the table. I mean, there is something that feels... Now, not that we're doing anything dirty here.
No.
But it makes me feel alive for some reason when I hand you money under a table. It does.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Pay me under the table. We don't have to talk about taxes. All of a sudden, you know, bing, bang, boom, we're done.
You're physically paid someone under a table? Or have you like just... You say you're doing it under the table. You're really just sort of doing it in open air.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've never paid anyone under the table.
Seems like one for your bucket list, Stugatz.
Yeah. It is. It's on my bucket list, actually. What do you guys like to do when you're hunkering down for a hurricane? Like, what are some of the things? Like, Billy, I am in Billy's wheelhouse right now. What do you like to do when you hunker down, Billy, besides play golf? What do you like to do?
I don't hunker down. I've not like. Is this relaxing for you guys? Like just kind of being there. I've not sat still for like more than 5 minutes. I have a stress candle lit right now next to where I am.
What
like,
scent?
There's a lot going on. It's eucalyptus mint.
Right. Mm. What are you stressed out about? Like, why are you?
I like that
just,
one.
Just because it's Wednesday.
Nah, there's a big storm out there. You know.
Right.
I don't until this thing passes. I'm not 100% sure on these forecasts because they've moved so much. You know, like let's just. I want to kind of get past this already.
I think it is past us. Are you suggesting we could still be in the cone
of
death?
It's not past us, Stugatz. Like we're getting the worst of it tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. Yeah, the storm making landfall and actually, you know, doing some things to South Florida begins like around 6 p.m. on Wednesday.
You're
so
kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Like that's when I had no idea. And like the bad bit, like I would say to Billy, like, there's not really much to worry about, but the bit to worry about is tornadoes. because we described earlier, Team A had a run in with tornadoes.
Yeah.
Roy Bellamy said that there was one that was 6 blocks from his house, but he thankfully escaped it. He also quoted the movie Twister in doing so. Like flash tornadoes are the thing to worry about here. So we're not out of the woods here yet, lads.
I don't like this whole Team A and Team B business. Thank you, Billy. I'm going to be honest with you.
Billy's pretty upset with the teams in general, how you picked them. This was all Whittingham's doing, okay? Because we're dealing with a weather situation down here, and so we split up and we're in teams. One was called Team A.
In a time that we should be coming together, Whitty's splitting us apart.
Exactly right. What don't you like about the
teams? I'm dividing your level of work in half. I don't understand how I'm the bad guy here when you have to do half as much work as you normally do.
I think it's a Team A, Team B thing. We don't like the Team A, Team B. Like, if we had team names, the Team A was like the Team Tigers, and then we're the Team Bears. Like,
don't give them a name. They can figure out their own. We should come up with our own team name, and we should make team shirts. What do you think?
Really? Wow. Who gets the Dawn the Sea? I mean, how about that? There's got to be a guy.
It's got to be you.
No, it's got to be an internal voting system. We all have to vote for who we want to be the captain. Well,
there's only four of us, though.
I know, but we put votes in.
Okay. Billy, do you have any other issues with the teams, how he divided them, the fact that Dan's on Team A, Mike's on Team A, Smitty's on Team A, and we're Team B? Like, I didn't, I was a little bit insulted
I put myself
there.
In Team B. Like, right. No?
Yeah.
That's what you have to do when you're dividing people. You know, cock in the hen house, as they say.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're a Team A guy spying on Team B to make sure that, you know.
Wow.
That's exactly what it feels like. You're the executive producer, and it feels like, okay, Team A, they're fine over there. Dan's there. It's fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you put yourself in Team B, entrenched in Team B to make it, you know.
Spy on us.
Yeah, spy on us. You want to be with the worst team because by nature, A comes before B. So you're saying that this team is not nearly as good as Team A. I don't like that, Woody.
You're right. You're right that I did err in branding. No question about it. I should have come up with Team Dan and Team Stu, assign random zoo animals to the team so we could be like Team Zebra against Team Alligator or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Zebra.
Yeah, I think I did make a mistake in branding. I was trying to put together a hurricane readiness plan in about 45 minutes. I'm sorry that I made some mistakes.
What's on it? What's on your hurricane readiness plan?
More like how we're going to do the show today. I spent like an hour yesterday after the show organizing all the other bits of audio that we have for today's program.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, making sure that we have our ducks in a row during a hurricane.
How did you go about? I'm fine being a Team B person. I've always been a Team B person. I've thrived as a Team B person. You know
Billy
what I mean?
Like,
I'm a B.
I'm
both.
Not. Yeah. So, how did you go about selecting the members of these teams? Right. Just out of curiosity,
it was sort of a content balance, I would say. I'm trying to find the right balance of personalities. I just sort of, you know, came up with a random system in my head for how I was going to put people together. Want to make sure you have a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, a little bit of fun, a little bit of sports, and I think I settled on a good combination. The Team A group was good. We're rolling here. I think we've done a good combination here.
Okay. I like our group. Just to go out and say that I like our group.
No, I like our group as well. But Team A, Team A was Lebatard, Mike Ryan, Smitty, Chris Cody, and Roy. Was that Team
Correct.
A?
Yep. Huh.
Okay. Yeah. What was that,
Billy? Would you make trades? Yeah. Were you giving
who
up
would
a first?
You trade?
Yeah. Who would you give up in a first round pick?
Well, I like everyone on our team, so I don't think I would. I wouldn't be willing to trade anyone. I mean,
it's okay. I mean, you can say that you trade me for the other Chris. Like, that's totally fine. Like, I wouldn't be offended if
come
you
on.
Said that.
Why are you doing that?
Yeah, I don't know if that. I would trade you for the other Chris. I'm not certain.
We like you here.
Okay.
Yeah. We're uneven, though. We're a man down on this.
We are a man down. We do have Jeremy, who's currently an off-camera producer. We can also submit our captain votes to him, and he can determine who the captain is based on the voting if you want.
Wow.
All right, so let's vote for captain right now, okay?
Secretly to Jeremy.
All right,
we're just sending direct messages to Jeremy.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
I'm kind of far away from my keyboard, so I'm just going to say Stu.
Okay.
All right, well, I mean, that kind of contaminates the jury pool.
Huh. So one vote for me.
I know, he's like two away from, he's like one vote away from a supermajority.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
so are we going to come up with a name, or what are we? What are
yeah,
we
yeah.
Do?
We should also come up with a name.
I thought Zebra was good, Billy. Okay. You didn't like Zebra?
Mm. It's there.
Can I go off the board on Captain? Am I allowed to do that?
No, it's only the people that are
sure.
Here.
I'd like to hear who you have as an off the board.
Because I want to use it to lure this person onto the Zoom with us again.
Oh, no. Billy, do you have like a preference for other animals that you think would be more, representative of our personalities, or what we want to give off as a group?
I think what we want to give off as a group is that we're very tight-knit, right? We need to have fake IJs, inside jokes, and we want to make the other team, Team A, because they're all hoity-toity and on their high horse about being Team A, and we've been labeled Team B.
Right.
We want them to want to be part of Team B. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I have had some members of Team A suggest to me, Billy, that they would have rather been a member of Team B. I don't want to listen.
Wow.
I'm not trying to cause a schism in our locker room. I am just telling you.
It seems like you are, though.
Well, listen, I can't control what people text me. I cannot do that. You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
He can't.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but bringing it to air, I mean, that's an off-the-record private conversation, you know?
Yeah, I'm not naming names. I am not. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
I'm just know that. Just know that there's a schism in our myths.
Jerbear is saying we have a four-way tie for...
For the captain's seat? Yeah, that's the least stunning thing I've ever heard.
One of the people receiving votes wasn't even in here.
And so the four-way tie is Billy, Tony, Stu, and Greg Cody. Why is Greg Cody getting a captaincy vote?
Because I voted for him. There are a few people I would want to check in more with on a, you know, on a hunker down day than Greg Cody, just to see what the hell it is he's up to, you know, because no one loves to hunker down like Greg Cody. Billy is a close second, but Greg loves to hunker down on a day where you could play golf. I mean, you really could. So what are we doing here with the captain? Hey, Whittingham, I'm sorry you didn't get a vote.
You know, it's fine. Right. I've created a problem, clearly, by dividing us into teams. So I feel like my leadership has already failed.
Right. Was the other team bothered by this at all? Or
no, there was no mention of it.
The A team.
What?
That's right, yeah.
There was no mention of, wow, we're on certain teams. It was, hey, let's just do this.
Billy, you were
they're Team A. They're privileged in that respect.
They are, right. Well, listen, I'm not going to name names in terms of who texted me. It wasn't Dan. Wishing that they were part of Team B, okay? Dan was fine with his team. I think Dan just wanted to get through it today.
I'm also going to admit that I received a text on which team somebody was on in Team A.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Thickens.
Name names.
Huh. The plot thickens.
No, not going to name names.
Did you receive any texts about being on Team B?
No. The first complaint that I heard of it was from you guys here on the Zoom.
Yeah. It's just weird. I mean, Team A,
what's
Team B.
Weird about it?
I just feel inferior to Team A. I mean, that's how me, Tony, and Billy feel. True. I mean,
yeah, I feel super inferior. Yeah, I right do. Now.
Billy, you were telling us right before we came on the air here, it was a great tease that no one heard except for the three of us. About someone who threw out a first pitch at Wrigley Field last night.
Oh, yeah. I ask you if you saw who threw out a first pitch at Wrigley Field last night, because this is only going to be interesting to you.
Okay. Well, that's how Team B does it, okay? Mm-hmm. We do things that are only interesting to us, to me. So who threw it out?
So wheeled out to the mound in her wheelchair, 103-year-old.
Oh, no.
Sister Jean throughout the first
pitch.
Get
out of here. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Really? Did she do it from the grass or from the bump?
No. It was the grass, and it was almost like, she's 103, so she kind of was like a sidearm, kind of like almost a submarine motion, bowling style.
Nice.
It got to the plate.
She did get her arm up there, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
And just kind of like rolled it out.
Why, though? Why Sister Jean? I mean, the Cubs have run out of people to throw out a first pitch. I mean,
she's a local celebrity, part of the Loyola system.
Right.
And
she's
not part
of the system.
She doesn't work for Loyola anymore. She's not like the, I don't even. What, is she a nun?
No, it's listen. Yeah. We don't
know
how to
cover. Sister, right?
I'm going to take. I'm going to take you deep inside our industry. We don't know how to cover college basketball. Okay, and so Loyola Chicago got to the Final Four. We didn't know any of the players or the coach, and so we gave the credit to Sister Jean. I mean, that's
she's a character. She's a character that kind of spruces up that story.
Yeah,
they made it to the Final Four. The story doesn't need sprucing, does it?
Name one player from that team.
That's the point. I mean, perhaps we should have learned who the players were on the team. I mean,
so wait, you're saying that if Sister Jean didn't exist, that you would know a player from that team?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God. No, I mean, if I had the chickens on me, I'd get
we would
actually,
call them.
I do have the chickens, but it could take me a second to
why
get them.
Why didn't you name a player from Florida Gulf Coast a couple years ago?
Oh, ooh, yeah.
No, no. Who's the woman from Mississippi State that hit that shot to beat UConn?
Oh, yeah.
You'd never forget her name.
You'd never forget her name.
The biggest shot in the history of college basketball. Monica something?
Yeah.
Now you're going to make me look it up.
Yeah.
Why? He's already looking up the chickens.
Right.
I don't understand this, watching hurricane coverage here. All the channels tell everybody to be super safe and go inside and don't do that. And then they have reporters right there getting pounded on the shore. Why are they doing this to Jim Cantore? I mean, I presume he does this to himself, but why is Jim Cantore constantly doing this to himself? Like, we get that this is a serious thing. You don't need to stand next to the ocean.
Billy, it's their Super Bowl.
It is. Yeah, Billy, make no mistake about it. Jim Cantore is exactly where Jim Cantore wants to be.
He moved. He moved down there. He was in Tampa, and then he came down to where it's going to be.
I know, but he likes being in the middle of this. He does. He likes showing. He loves being in the middle of this. He was very upset this morning. He said he's tired of Cat Fives. That's what he was saying this morning. He's tired of Cat Fives, and I wanted to call BS on Cantore because I think he lives for Cat Fives. I do.
That's do you harsh. Think he wants a Cat 6?
If there was a Cat 6, Cantore would be smack in the middle of it. No question about it. You feel bad for Jim Cantore?
I feel bad for all these reporters. Like, even the local stations, I see we're sending people to, like, Sarasota and Fort Myers, and it's like, why are you doing that? And by the way, like, growing up, when I would watch hurricane coverage, I would get excited for hurricanes because it was always days off school before, like, I, you know, had like a family and house and stuff like that I need to like take care of.
And
I was
a leaky roof or
before I would like, oh good, like hurricane party, we can take days off, like this is great. And then when I started interning at Channel 4, I was like, man, if there's a hurricane, like I want to go out in the hurricane, I want to cover this hurricane like as an intern, which why the hell would they put an intern on that duty? But I was like, man, it'd be cool to go out and cover a hurricane. It'd be cool to go like have them go to you during the storm. And like now I'm watching it, what was I thinking? Like, that seems miserable. Why are they sending people from out of town to go, especially down here in Miami, where like we were spared. We are super lucky,
very lucky
that we're not getting the worst of this storm, right? Why are we sending reporters from Miami to go cover this in Sarasota and putting them at risk for something that's not impacting us?
Billy, it's like a relief pitcher, right? They're in the pen waiting to get called up. Their number is getting called for the hurricane. This is their big break to go out and cover the hurricane. One of the things that, Stu, you talked about hurricane preparedness and like hunkering down and all that stuff. I think an underrated part of hurricane watch and all that is watching the coverage on your TV. All of a sudden, when you were a kid, like that's all that was on the TV for 24 hours straight. Like anything could happen in the world and it doesn't matter. We're watching, you know, whoever do the hurricane coverage for 18 hours. Like, I'm excited to just sit at my house, like sit on my couch and watch hurricane coverage for the rest of the time.
Yeah, so am I. A little gummy? I mean, how about that? Little golf, little gummy,
this
little
guy
hurricane
gets
coverage,
it.
Huh? I
mean, this guy gets it.
But I remember, and Jeremy put it in the chat, like, I remember watching, like, Will Manso would go out and cover storms when they were coming here. Like, what are we doing now?
Do you think they get paid overtime?
The gig that he has right now, he's covering Heat training camp in the Bahamas.
I know.
Oh, yeah,
while
I saw
everyone
that.
While everyone else at the station is hunkering down for hurricane coverage, they're on the air for 24 hours a day. For 3 minutes, Will Manso's going to come out like, yeah, Bam Adebayo looks great. Back to you.
That's a heady play by the Heat, though.
I'm going to the hotel bar.
No, but I love that. Tony's right. Like, once they use up the bullpen, they go to the sports guys. Like, I've seen Kim Bocamper out there. I've seen Joe Rose out there.
No storm is moving Kim Bocamper.
That's
no storm.
True.
put it on the poll. Is a storm going to move Kimbo Camper?
Should your hurricane prepared list just be Kimbo Camper stands in front of your house?
Yeah, stand next to Kim.
Stand behind him.
I'd feel more secure standing next behind Kimbo Camper than I would being in my house right now. I would.
Yes.
He's the strongest man I've ever met.
No, but Billy, we have to like give insight into like what the hurricane coverage is. It's a lot of like the weather people, they start with like their full regalia. They're mm-hmm. wearing their suit and tie. Then by like day three, they've unbuttoned the shirt, the tie is loosened, and they're giving you advisories every hour. There's a reporter who is desperate to be swaying with wind. Like mm-hmm. the reporter has not lived until they've swayed with wind. Yep. So they've thrown the windbreaker on with the station logo on it. The camera pans down, their boots are halfway submerged in water. Yeah. Like it's a whole kind of look that these guys and women want to go for. And I agree with Tony. This is their Super Bowl. They want to have their number called in this moment. Yes.
Well, you find out that at some point the company all gave everybody matching raincoats that they all yes. saved for just the occasion.
Yes.
And then there's always like the look at me Louie reporter who is out there waist deep in water. And then you see a little kid walking 2 feet next to them, and it's ankle deep, and you're like, "Wait a minute,
he could have
what's
stood
going
over optical
on?"
Illusion.
Yeah, they're like actually kneeling in the water.
That's Cantori, though.
No, you know Cantori. The one thing that I haven't seen from Cantori yet so far, and I'm surprised that I haven't, and I'm assuming we will at some point, is the baseball helmet. When he puts the baseball helmet on,
great show.
Is when you know like it's about to hit, and I haven't seen him with it on yet.
You know what I don't like, and I saw this the other I think it was yesterday when people here locally were getting ready for the storm, and there's press conferences, and the mayor's out. Why are all the politicians?
Mayor.
Why are all the politicians in like weather protective gear inside of a room?
No, it's
having a press conference with windbreakers on and like one of those hats. It's like
you gotta dress the part.
You're not even outside.
I mean,
yeah, you're not totally, even outside. Totally. You're inside.
And then there's the look for like the post storm. Which is yes. they're in a t-shirt and like joggers out there, and they're like they're of the people. They're mm-hmm. out there. I saw last night. I had the local news on, and the mayor of Sarasota's like, you gotta you know take the orders very seriously from our officials. You gotta hunker down. Gotta get water. Gotta have you gotta be prepared. I mean again we don't want to make too much light of this because there are areas of the state that are going to get
horrible.
Absolutely drilled yeah. by this storm. And if you can still hear us before. The storm properly hits and you can get out of there. Get out of there as soon yeah. as possible. There is a very familiar rhythm to watching local news coverage during a storm. There's also there'll be a Thursday night football game during this. It'll air on a local station. I don't know if they're gonna like bump in to like Hurricane like that. I remember that was a thing where during the last storm we hunkered down for, it was probably like 3 or 4 years ago, the power went out in my house, and like we watched Thursday night football on generator-powered Wi-Fi on an iPad just to feel some sense of normalcy oh during the storm so we could watch football. There are all kinds of familiar rhythms with this stuff.
Who?
They always break in with like the lower third on Thursday night football, like tracking the storm.
Yeah,
and you're
the rotating.
Yeah, you're like
the rotating radar.
Trying to see if the guy caught a first down or not. You're like,
Who in national sports media do you guys, just based by physical appearance or what you know about the person, would be most likely to be like an in the field hurricane reporter? Like I could see Golic just owning that, you know.
Oh, yes. So you have this person being like the Jim Cantore?
Yeah, like the Jim Cantore, correct.
Jim Cantore. I'm going to like just in my head go to bald people because like that, like just sort of my...
Seth Greenberg?
Seth Greenberg just kind of looked like Cantore. It's not a bad shout. I think Jeremy Schapp would be amazing.
Oh, Schapp would be good.
From the field. Reporting live from Sarasota, Jeremy Schapp, the Weather Channel.
What are you thinking about, Billy? What's going on there?
I'm trying to think of like jacked bald guys that could be out there doing
Jay Glazer.
This, I think. Nah.
Ooh, excellent.
Glazer could be good.
I think because like his personality is not, it doesn't have the temperament of a local news reporter.
Right.
So you need somebody more self-serious, is that what it is?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, Cantore, you know, obviously he's out there. He's got a little bit of a wild side based off the fact that he wants to stand outside in the hurricane.
What is he doing right now? Like, what is he?
You know what I feel? So
paint the picture, Billy.
Jim Cantore, like, gets to be the guy who's on camera, the hero in the thick of the storm. The person who has the worst gig is the cameraman.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they're, like, also braving it without any of the fame or the glory. Yep.
No, you know, this camera person is on a balcony underneath a roof right now, and you could see them shooting down to him, like, from the second or third floor. But still, like, he's creeping and tiptoeing over towards this guardrail that water is breaching, and it seems like sand has breached. And it's like, dude, you're going to slip. Like, I can barely walk across my patio without slipping when it's wet. And this guy's out there in a Cat 5 right now, and he's going to bang into that railing. Like, what is he doing? And also, and this is more of a witty question, how is it that their microphones work so great during these horrific events and we can't figure things out sometimes?
Another great question, because they're like, you know, I have actually a microphone that is designed to be noise canceling, but those are just like regular television microphones. Those are probably, is he wearing a lav or is he doing like the handheld one? I don't know how, like, you can even hear them. They have windscreens, but windscreens are not designed for 155-mile-an-hour winds.
Cantore is crushing it right now, though. I mean, he is, Billy. He is digging in. Okay? He is not moving. He is showing off just how strong his thighs are. I mean, he is...
McAfee would be a great correspondent during
hurricanes.
McAfee
would be a great one. Marty Smith, Jer Bear says.
Yeah, Marty would be
Smith
good.
Would actually be a very good one.
They'd launch him out of the hurricane. You know the hurricane tracker airplane? Yes. Marty would jump out of the airplane and be like, guys, I'm out here. Watch this.
Billy, does that not seem like the most terrifying job on the planet? Because every once in a while, those planes that fly into a hurricane to get recon, like,
the trackers,
they'll send video out, and they actually, like, so you see them, they kind of go over the hurricane, they descend into the eye where it's very calm, and then at a certain point, they go into the freaking hurricane, and it's like, what? Why would you ever do that? Fly a hurricane at the top of a hurricane to calculate that the winds are actually 155 miles an hour.
Well, I mean, obviously it helps us. Like, it serves a purpose for us, but I'm glad that I'm not the one doing it. You know who I could see covering a hurricane? Jason Garrett.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Ooh, he's not that bad on TV.
Like, do you have him anchoring the coverage from the studio, or he's out in the field? Like, which one do you have him doing?
I don't know. He just has a face for disaster coverage.
I can see him with his with the sleeves rolled up next to a huge monitor pointing at the different counties that are getting hit and what the wind gusts are in those counties. Like, I can see that for JG, for Coach. Yeah.
Why are me and Whittingham thinking, I'm kind of with Whitty on this, to be honest with you. It's got to be someone like a Jay Glazer or a Mike Golick, you know, like Tony Baselli would be great.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, Baselli's
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm doing there. Yeah. I don't know why I'm making it like...
You're naming your friends.
Well, that's a totally fair point.
You know who would be really good? Tony Reale.
Really?
Tony Reale in the studio. Yeah, in the studio.
Oh, in the studio, that's fair.
Helping people calm down a little bit. Yep.
The button is undone at the
is
top.
Keeping score.
Helping people relax, keeping people calm, you know what I mean? He's like, guys, don't worry about it.
Is he keeping score? Is it like around the horn?
Yeah. Yeah, he's keeping score for sure. He's going to throw a paper into, like, on a break. He's throwing the paper at the camera.
Yeah. I love the eye. Like, when the eye comes over, it's like you get like an hour's worth of relief. You know there's more shit coming, but you get like an hour. It's no, Whitty.
No, the eye's terrifying.
Why is the eye terrifying?
No, the eye.
I mean, listen, you can jump in the pool when the eye comes over. I mean, it's gorgeous.
You cannot jump in the pool when the eye. Do not. If you're listening, do not jump in the pool when the eye goes over.
Yeah, don't go outside either, by the way.
Don't play golf. Don't do
anything. Well, no, Billy, down here in South Florida, you could play golf. I mean, you could play golf today.
No, don't do it. Why? Just wait till tomorrow.
No, tomorrow's going to be worse.
Get it in today. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing is that, you know, it could deteriorate very quickly. So I know that, like, you live, like, by the golf course, but if you're on, like, the opposite end of the golf course, you got to drive back through a hurricane, then, you know. Conditions change very quickly here. Last night, by me, it was pretty rough. And it was like just from one moment to the next, you look outside, it's like, wow, that tree looks like it's going to fall over.
Billy, there is some interesting stuff going on in baseball right now. I'm not certain. Weird transition. But Tony's holding a bat. There's some weird stuff going on in baseball right now where the...
You know why he's holding that bat, right?
You want me to explain it to him?
Sure, so go ahead.
We got these Louisville Sluggers before the pandemic, right. And they send a bunch of them to the studio, and I always kept mine there. I never really needed it, but I told Billy, I don't have a bat at my house. There was a crash in the night last night, or 2 nights ago, excuse me, that ended up being a shampoo bottle falling into the tub. But you know, the tub is hollow, so it's really loud. So all of a sudden, I jump out of bed. I don't have something to grab to like hit somebody with, so I just got my fist. So I get up, and I walk around the apartment. I make sure. I'm like, okay, good. And then I look into the bathroom, and there's the shampoo bottle and the thing. I tell Billy yesterday, I'm like, Billy, people get crazy during hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I need some sort of protection just in case. So I got the old Louisville Slugger, the old Maple, just waiting for somebody to make the wrong move.
Just waiting for shampoo bottles.
Just waiting. You never know.
You beat the holy hell out of that bottle.
Oh my God.
I don't think I'd be able to bring myself to swing a bat at a human
being.
Yes, you would, Billy.
Yes, you would.
Put it on the
yes,
floor. Would you bring yourself to be able to swing a bat at a human being? Billy, you would. If someone was attacking your family, you would, Bill.
Don't you have to confirm the identity of the person, though, first?
Well, yes.
Do you give a shit if that person is coming to take your life? What do you care?
No, but like, what if
are you
going
to ID them first?
Billy's at home with his 4-year-old daughter at this point. Hears a weird noise, grabs the baseball bat. And what if the daughter's just like going into the bed and you're like swinging a baseball bat at your child? Like,
why do we go in that direction?
Well, because that's why I said you have to confirm the identity of the person before you swing at them.
So what do? Scream, identify yourself?
Before I hit you with this bat. Winnie would totally ID someone trying to attack his family.
License and registration, please.
What is your name? It's Paul.
Can I see some identification, please?
I mean, you don't just aimlessly, unless you live by yourself. And you don't expect anyone to come. But even like then, like what if someone just like comes up with, what if like my brother flew into town and just like decided to surprise me. He's got a key to my apartment and he lets himself in. And I think it's an intruder and I swing a baseball bat at my brother's head. Like you can't swing willy nilly.
You need to do some quick accounting of how many keys you have out and who has those keys and how those keys. How many keys? This is a good question. Woody, right now, how many keys are out to your house?
Two.
And you're one of them?
No, so I guess three then. Yeah, I have one. My parents have one, and somebody else has another.
Who's the third? I'm dying to know.
Who's the mystery?
Now I'm curious.
But this is where I look bad, right? I have someone who comes and cleans my apartment once a month, and they have a key to my apartment. So
you don't look bad. Okay. That's fine. I mean, okay, it's okay. You know. Someone needs to clean the apartment. Billy, how many keys do you have out?
Not including myself and my wife, I probably have like 3 or 4.
Does Manny still have his?
Dude, don't get me started on that. I can't get into that. But I do get worried about that. I'm like, so there's two guys that were kind of like helping because I had like a leak and my house had to, like, it was a whole mess, insurance, all of that, right? And there was two main people that were working on it. And there was one key that was given out. And I'm like, did they make a copy of this key? How many copies may exist? Like, it's a whole... In my head, there's 3 or 4, but I wonder if there's more. They returned the key, but I wonder if copies were made of said key.
The key might be on the black market for all to have.
It's a fair concern, Billy. I understand what you're saying.
I wanted to change my locks, but I know there will be some other thing that I'm going to have to
change it during the Dolphins game.
Yeah.